What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you join the show. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. Elliot will be with us at 11 o'clock on a big day to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. Jason Avant for a full hour. Wide Out Wednesday. And oh boy, do we have news to react to, and do we have to talk about what is next at offensive coordinator for the Eagles. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen, you can't be afraid of change, man. Can't be afraid.
I like that.
It's inevitable.
Well, it is inevitable. It was yesterday for the Eagles. All right, so we get off the air, and the afternoon show is
all hell done broke loose.
Yeah, it did. The sacrificial lamb has been brought
Bring forth the sacrificial lamb.
And everyone, you got what you wanted, and Petullo's out. And look, as much as I didn't think it was all his fault, obviously the Eagles can upgrade at offensive coordinator, and they're going to try to do that now. So, Hugh, let's start quickly with your reaction to what happened yesterday. Eagles move fast, right? They didn't linger. Like, last time, you know, after the 2023 season, it was like 9 days before they told us anything about changes. This one was pretty quick. Petullo out, and now the new search begins for the Eagles' next offensive coordinator. Hugh, your reaction when you saw the news yesterday?
I was like, damn. I had a lot of reactions, and most of the ones were from a petty perspective.
Always.
You know, because I thought my first thought, okay, now I'm going to have to long talk a little bit because this was my first thought.
Okay.
Because I'm sitting there, me and my man Freddie, we was chopping it up, and I'm watching the video. I was about to say the movie, but the video. So my first thought was like, damn, they made him fire his boy, and then then my mind got to thinking, they made him like you hired him, you fire him. Like that's my first thought when I saw the letter and
the statement
fact that,
by Sirianni,
all of that, and I was like, wow. And I was like, that's only the first shoe to drop because now Nick's still in the building. That's his boy. They've been together. They ride or die. They've been together for a while. So now it's on Jalen. That's my second thought. Because I feel like whomever they get in here, Joe, his offense is going to be separate from whatever else Nick is doing. And we're going to find out who Jalen is next year. I feel like this is a come to Jesus moment. Be careful what you wish for, you know, because sometimes you get it. And now, you know, there's been rumblings that Jalen wasn't a fan of the offense. And, you know, the non-committal thing that he did when they asked him, did he want Petullo back? And he was like, hey, that's on them. Now it's on you because you're the common denominator. You're the sole survivor in all of this. You got what you wanted. I feel like they're going to bring somebody in here that's going to be a separate entity because, and this is me recklessly speculating because listening to what's been said and how players have been griping, one of the biggest gripes is this offense hasn't changed.
Well, I mean,
in years.
Yeah, Devontae Smith said a couple days ago, it's the same scheme it's been the entire time.
Okay,
he's been
so
here.
Now, yeah. With that to me, that resonates because you're talking about the same scheme that took you to two Super Bowls, right? And this year, for whatever reason, it fell apart. The quarterback didn't like it, recklessly speculate. So now it's on you. And whoever comes in here, they're going to run their own offense.
Well, it's interesting you said that because now we look forward to who they're going to hire, right? And there's a lot of names out there. We're going to unpack, and I've got my list, and we'll get to that coming up in a little bit here. But there's a lot. I mean, I just was kind of perusing some potential names out there, and there's a lot of names. I mean, this isn't a scenario where there's five. There's you probably read or see or hear upwards of 20 names over the next 2 weeks. And some of those guys might end up being head coaches, so they might be off the board. They might follow people at other jobs and be off the board. But we'll see where this all plays out. But, Hugh, as we go into this, I have one request for the Philadelphia Eagles. As they go in and they try to find their next offensive coordinator, find the best offensive mind. All I want is them to find the best offensive mind. I don't want this to be about rehabilitating Jalen Hurts or finding the coordinator that meshes the best with Jalen Hurts. If those two things work out to be one and the same, that's perfect. I mean, that would be wonderful if we find the best offensive mind that also can help resurrect Jalen to play the best he's played in years. That would be the best case scenario. But as I go into this, I just want the best offensive mind. And we know there's certain elements of Jalen's game that maybe work better with certain systems than others, right? Like yeah. Jalen Hurts, he's got second reaction ability, right? He makes plays off of script. Mm-hmm. He doesn't always just drop back and throw, right? He moves. Now, there are some schemes, let's take the Shanahan-McVay scheme, that's not kind of the way they want their quarterbacks to play, right? Mm-hmm. They want it to be on time. But if the Eagles interview someone over the next week or so, and it's from that tree, and they think that guy's the best coordinator, that guy's the best offensive mind, well then, Hugh, I think it is time to evolve. I think it's time to change. I would ask Jalen to get on board with that and to hope he improves to the point where he can run that offense great and the two of them mesh together. But like sometimes when teams go into this, they say, we got to make our quarterback better, and they look for the right fit to make their quarterback better. Sometimes teams say, we're just looking for the best offensive mind. And Hugh, that's where I'm at. I just want the Eagles to hire the best offensive mind. This has to be about the Philadelphia Eagles, the future of the Eagles offense, mm-hmm. more than for me it would be about Jalen Hurts. Hugh, as you go into this, if you're Howie, if you're Jeff, and you're sitting down for these interviews, is this about Jalen or is it about the offense?
It's about the offense. To me, it's about the offense because I look at it like this. When you look at the funds that have been allocated, I'm going to talk in a way that I'm going to need y'all to listen and understand what I'm trying to say, is because we are in a situation where we've allocated a lot of funds to one side of the football.
Yeah, oh yeah.
When you look at this football team, I think it's safe to say that when you talk about Hall of Fame caliber players, most of them are on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and even if we thought there was some on defense, they're so young.
Young, and they have a lot of, like, when I look at this defense, I look at young upside.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean.
Carter. Yeah, sure.
All of those guys. That's young upside.
But the offensive guys have done more, right?
Yeah, but when you talk about bona fide, you know, a couple more seasons doing this, they're probably going to go to the Hall. Most of those guys are on the offensive side of the ball. And when I look at it, I'm going to try to equate it in a way that people understand. It's almost like you go out and you buy a Lamborghini, you buy a sports car, right? But you're still getting beat by 5.0 Mustangs. And that's what that San Francisco 49er team was the other day. That was a Mustang. That was a Mustang that came to town and boat raced. They gapped your Lamborghini. That's unacceptable. And then on top of that, Joe, you have a lot of players that aren't complaining, but they're talking about how this offense has been stagnant. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You know, and Saquon, you know, to a certain extent talking about how is no joy on this squad.
Yep.
This offense has to evolve for the simple fact that they make too much money to be sitting around 15th or 16th best offense in the NFL. When you talk about the quarterback, you talk about the receivers, and you talk about the running back, the standard has been set from a year ago. So that's why I think that it's more about the offense than the quarterback, because there's been a lot of speculation about him as well, whether it was the offensive coordinator or was it the quarterback? So I think the next guy that comes in here has to be independent of what everybody – he needs to be like Vic Fangio. Whomever you feel is skews more like Vic Fangio, to me, needs to be the offensive coordinator. He needs to have his ability to run his offense and implement things the way that he wants to implement it. Because we've heard for the last couple of years, this has been Nick Sirianni's offense.
Yep.
And there's been some variation of Nick Sirianni's offense. I think that whoever comes in here has to have the ability to do whatever he feels is best for this offense to be as successful as it needs to be.
Yeah, and I think it needs to be about the Eagles' offense. They need to worry about getting the best offensive mind. That's it, bottom line. I don't care if that guy comes in and says we're running a drop-back passing game or we're running a spread offense or we're running a McVay offense or, I mean, whatever it is. If they think this has the best chance for sustain, because that's the problem with the offense. There's no sustainability to this thing. It goes up, it goes down. It's a roller coaster. There's been some years it's been excellent. And maybe it's been the run game in 24. It's been Jalen in 22. That, you know, we've seen some greatness. They've made the two Super Bowls. But it's been too up and down. It's just been too up and down. They need something that they can hang their hat on offense. And that's the next offensive mind here. And I don't care what his scheme is, if he's the best. And if that fits perfectly like a glove with what Jalen is at this stage of his career, wonderful. If it doesn't, we'll figure that out later. I'm not worried about that. And for everyone out there thinking, well, you have to marry to Jalen. I mean, he's the franchise quarterback. Yes, he is now, and I think he will be for this coming season. As of right now, today, Jalen Hurts has 1 year left of guaranteed money on his deal. One. Now, that might change this offseason. Maybe they give him an extension, right? And that changes the equation. But as of today, he's got 1 year left of guaranteed money. So, like, they got to think about the Eagles more than they have to think about what makes Jalen Hurts the best. Now, someone who disagrees with us, Hugh, and thinks this is about Jalen Hurts, and it's got to be about Jalen Hurts, his name is Marcus Spears. On ESPN yesterday, as they talked about the Eagles' decision, what's next? Here's Marcus's take on the situation.
I got you, and I understand that, but I also think about he's been to the Super Bowl twice, performed well in the Super Bowl twice, and he is a Super Bowl champion and a Super Bowl MVP. And that's not – I know how you feel about Jalen Hurts, but I'm just saying – That is quite a bit of adversity. Now, Kellen Moore did a great job with Philly. We know what Shane Steichen is as a play caller, how successful he's been since he's left there. But when you look at this organization in Philly and Nick Sirianni, which I think this comes down to, what's best for Jalen Hurts needs to be the first question and the priority. Who's the best guy? Who's the best candidate? He should be a part of this process as well, as far as figuring out who's going to be the next offensive coordinator and spending that majority of time with Jalen as well. So this is not just about getting a guy that we've seen do a really good job. This is about getting a guy that obviously can deal with Jalen Hurts and his personality and how he goes about his business. It's about dealing with the stars that's around him, even if A.J. Brown is gone. Howie is still going to get really good players within that organization as well. So I don't think this is just a blanketed, let's find some good offensive coordinator and let him come in. This is about working with the players that he's going to walk in the building with.
Yeah, see, that's where I disagree with Marcus, because he said it's not just about the blanketed get the best mind. It's about making him work with the players. Players move in and out. Teams change. But schemes and the right mind, that could stay for a while if you can keep the guy. 215-592-9494. Shiel Kapadia had an interesting take on all this as well, as he unpacked what he thinks. He was on the morning show today.
Well, listen, Jalen Hurts, we know, has input on the offense, and we know that there are things he prefers, or we think we know there are things he prefers and things that he doesn't prefer. And that's true about every quarterback in the NFL. But when I look ahead here to the guy they're going to hire, I'm at the point where I don't want Nick Sirianni's fingerprints on the offense, and I don't really care that much about what Jalen Hurts prefers. I want a coach who's going to challenge him and say, Jalen, you care about winning. We know you care about winning. We know there are things you're comfortable with, but guess what? That didn't work last year, and that hasn't worked here for a couple of years. So we're going to do some new things here. They're going to be hard at first, but we know you're going to work at them, and you're going to get better at them, and this is going to give us our best chance for a great offense and to win a Super Bowl. So that's really what I'm looking for the next OC that they bring here.
Hugh, it's interesting hearing both perspectives. Marcus Spears on the other end, I think it's about Hurts, but the way Shiel packaged it, it sounded like the way you're feeling. Like, it's time to evolve and challenge the quarterback, whatever the system is.
Man, listen, second year here, that's when we got Tommy Brazier. And that's where I kind of developed the philosophy of I didn't mind being talked too rough, because Tommy called me in his office. That's my second year here, and he's like, hey, man, what do you want to be? He said, it's time. You gotta push yourself. You gotta be better.
Yeah, right.
Respecting a lot from you. And I went to the Pro Bowl. Like, that was the year I went. So I don't have a problem with that. And if you're about what you say you're about, Jalen shouldn't have a problem with it either. And if Nick, as much success as this team has had is great. But now we're talking about something different. We're talking about a dynasty. We're talking about building a dynasty. And I go back and I think about the conversations that was had by the players this year at the beginning of the year. And they echoed the fact that they felt they had something special. And to me, that means dynasty. That means building a legacy. They've accomplished something that past Eagle teams hadn't accomplished before. You know what I mean? And they're in position to keep that going. So, you know, and we said tongue-in-cheek, laughing and giggling and stuff, but you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. This team has gotten too comfortable. The coach has gotten too comfortable. The players have gotten too comfortable because you've had a lot of success. You brought home 2 Lombardis. You went to 3 Super Bowls. Mm. Now it's time. The standard has been raised. You have to be better. So in order to be better, you got to get out of your comfort zone. And you have to have somebody in here that's going to challenge you.
Yeah, look, they could put a Band-Aid on this if they want to. They could find someone just for next season that will elevate Hurts maybe better than he was this year. And I think he could be better than he was this year, because this year he wasn't great at all. But is it a long-term thing, or is it just about next year? I want the long-term next offense of the Eagles to come in starting whenever they hire this guy. 215-592-9494. Kyle, what are you feeling? Eagles get rid of Petullo, and now the decision is who's next.
Yeah, I think you guys are playing a dangerous game here.
Oh, come on.
I just do. Like, we've batted around all season. Is this on the coaches, on the players, whatever. Eagles chose the side. Yesterday, whether it was by necessity, by ease, whatever it was, they chose a side. They got rid of Kevin Petullo. This is the roster that we have. The toothpaste is out of the tube. I can equate it to like what's going on with the Phillies right now. Like, this is sort of the roster that we have. We need to figure out how to maximize this, get the most championships, whatever. We need to figure out a way to win with this group. And that's sort of where we're at with the Eagles right now. Like, we can't lose sight of the fact that this team is still in a championship window. And we have a known here of what this can look like when you get somebody in here or when you have a team that can play to the strengths of the quarterback, the strengths of the roster, like the O-line and Saquon play better. We could be talking about another Super Bowl run if the defense plays well enough again next year. And that's even with an OC that's just sort of running the same playbook, or like we just saw that happen twice. Once was Super Bowl and 1-1. The other side here opens up a can of worms with like such unknowns. I mean, what if we get a new offense in here? Jalen can't run it, right? Then all of a sudden, the conversation next year is, do we need a new quarterback? Do we need a new head coach? You almost like restart the clock on this group. Like, they're still young. And then at that point, we're talking another year down the line, more guys are gone. Guys are older. You might have to pay some guys that you didn't have to pay already, like Quinion, Cooper DeJean, you know, Jalen Carter, Davis, like a lot of that. Like, this thing could look so much different in 2 years. And we could be talking about a completely different ride here with this group. Like, I don't know. I think that I
can't be afraid, Kyle. Well, you sound
a little
squirrely.
Well,
a little squirrely. I hear
okay,
you.
Well, let me ask you this. How much patience do we have? How much patience do Jeffrey Lurie have? Does Howie Roseman have? See, because this is going to require patience.
Well, sure, is it about Jalen Hurts or about
not
the Eagles?
That much.
Well, I think making look, the Eagles said that the Eagles and Jalen Hurts are one and the same. They're married to Jalen Hurts right now. They got rid of this coordinator, and that was them telling us we're going all in on this Jalen Hurts thing, at least for next year. So like, I'm just following the motions of the Eagles right now.
I get it. It's a little risky. I mean, yeah, I mean, if let's say they bring in a McVay disciple, right? And again, a Shanahan McVay disciple. Yeah, those guys, right? They want the quarterback to get the ball out of their hands quickly. It's not an offense that requires you to run around back there and roll right and throw the ball, right? So if we do that, maybe he excels at it, right? Maybe he learns and he does it.
I don't think he will. That's part of where this is coming from.
I tend to be with you. But guess what? Then they got to get a new quarterback. I get it.
Right. So like you're saying, we'll figure all this out later. We'll figure what out later? I mean, this could require massive changes to
scared,
a team.
Kyle.
I am scared. But we just won the Super Bowl a year ago.
But Kyle.
And now, we run the risk of going so far away from that.
Can I help you out a little bit?
No.
Try.
How long has Ben Johnson been in Chicago?
A year.
Oh, well, I was talking to Kyle, I appreciate it. Yeah. Been in there a year.
Yes, 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what is Chicago doing this weekend? What are the Bears doing this weekend?
They're going to play a game. I'm working with you here.
Yeah, they're playing a game in the playoffs.
Yes, they have a number one overall pick, generational talent at quarterback.
No, but what I'm saying is this.
That is a fair point.
No, but let me say this. Who everybody thought last year was a bust. Ben Johnson came in at the beginning of the year.
Uh-huh.
And talked about how and Jason Avant told us how he threw everything at him, and he
because he can handle it.
Well, okay. How long has Jalen been in the league?
All right, time out.
We know what Jalen can handle.
No, but what I'm saying is this
is clear.
Jalen needs to be challenged.
You're talking about Ben Johnson. There's a clear difference here with what Ben Johnson's working with and what we're working with.
Okay, well, Jalen.
And there also likely isn't a Ben Johnson available. I mean, that guy might come available once every 7 years.
It might be a Ben Johnson available.
Ben Johnson.
Well, a Ben Johnson-like.
All right. We'll get to some names. Let's get to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on this? I mean, the Eagles have a huge decision to make. I think there's going to be a lot of names thrown out the next week or so as they interview people. Should this be about improving Jalen, getting the most out of Jalen, or it should just be about the best offensive mind and we figure out how Jalen fits in as we move along? Joe in Mayfair is up on WIP. Hey, Joe.
Well, good morning. I got a lot to say.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. So I am a huge Jalen fan, and I am the first to admit that winning the Super Bowl was something that Jalen never accomplished in his life. He's always been the underdog, the blue collar. I have to do anything and everything above everybody else because I'm not talented enough. I'm not, my arm isn't the strongest, but I have to find a way to do anything I can to win a game in any given time. And he had the screenshot of the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. And that man put the work in, and he put the work in, and he put the work in. I need that Jalen back. The guy who won the Super Bowl came back the following year and was a winner for the first time in his life. And he took the year off when it came to making a play, figuring it out, doing something dynamic on the field that made it different. The dynamic Jalen Hurts disappeared this year. I need an offensive coordinator to humble him down even more than he was humbled, because I guarantee you he's feeling some humility right now. You're not a pocket quarterback, Jalen. You're not a guy who can go through your progressions as good as you think you can, because you can't. You are an RPO, misdirection, move a little bit out of the pocket, throwing short passes, throwing the slant, and the deep ball. That's it. So we need someone in here to incorporate more into his game that he could be good at, as well as using what he's good at and expanding on it. We did none of that this year. The Eagles' offense was vanilla. Our defensive teams read everything we did. You know, this the RPO is something that Jalen and Saquon lived off of 2024, because the offensive line was so dominant and they created holes and space, and other defensive teams could not hold the edge and control the middle because Jalen was a threat. Well, Saquon went backwards, the offensive line went backwards, and Jalen went completely backwards when it came to how defenses, how to scheme for them. We got out-schemed because we didn't have a quarterback that said, hey, I'll do anything to win on this down. I'll do anything it takes to win this game. That fire and brimstone was gone. He thought he was better than what he was. I hope that Super Bowl isn't the downfall of his career, where he thinks he's the king of the mountain and he's better than what he was. That underdog mentality needs to come back, where you need to go back in the ring as Rocky and fight again. That's what people who love Jalen ride or die with him. When Bryce Harper, the first 3 to 5 years that he was here, it was the ride or die with Bryce, not the corporate Bryce the last 3 seasons where he doesn't have any fun playing the game. He looks like a grouch. And then the team follows that.
I agree. They need that Jalen back. I mean, Joe, I agree. So you want the coach that can get that out of him?
You need a coach to come in here and challenge not only him on the field, but to be that leader with the men in front of him again. He's lost that. Your quarterback has to be the face of the franchise off the field, which he's great at. Corporate Jalen, I don't want on the field.
Yeah, Joe, I need him to want it the way I think a lot of what you're speaking to, Joe, as I hear it, and Joe, always great phone call, is he's got to run, right? And this year, I just want to point this out. We'll get to everyone's phone calls. We're also going to give I got a preliminary list here. I got my working list of my power rankings for next Eagles offense coordinator. But one thing that Joe was referencing, and I heard it through there, was his legs, right? Making those kind of plays, dynamic, dual threat. From week 5 on, Jalen Hurts ran for 20 yards a game, including 14 in a playoff do-or-die game. He didn't have a single rushing touchdown after November 23rd. Part of the reason I can't just bring in a guy to work with Jalen Hurts' skill set is, are we sure he's still a dual threat? Are we sure he's going to be? Because let's just say we bring in a guy that wants the quarterback to run or uses the quarterback in the run game. Well, what if this quarterback's legs are shot? Jalen Hurts, since he got started college football, has run almost 1,400 times. I'm not sure how much is left in those legs.
Well, all right. If his legs are shot, then we're having an entirely different conversation.
Well, but that's part of why I can't just make this about Jalen. I got to make it about the offense. All right, 215-592-9494. We're working through what's best here for the Eagles as they go into their offensive coordinator search. What should be the priority moving forward? Maximizing Jalen or the best offensive mind out there on the market? Your call's coming up. I'll give you my list. I got 5 names here for Eagles OC, and I'm not having one on there. One that everyone likes, I don't like him. He's off my list. I'll give you my 5 names, your phone calls, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
What I admire about Kevin is how hungry he is for this job, right? And he's went through different coordinators here, and it's now it's his turn, and he is so hungry for this job. Like I would, when I'm here, when I get here in the morning, he's here. When I leave at night, he's still here. And now I don't make him do a time clock or anything, but I imagine he might be winning in that aspect. But he's so hungry for the job that. You know, the things that he's studied and the new wrinkles that he's put in, I've really admired how hungry he is. And that's what you want from your players. That's what you want from your staff.
What's your favorite moment of the Petullo era that you're going to remember forever?
What do you mean?
Your favorite moment of the Petullo era?
I got one.
Is it the...
It's the arm bar.
The Bash Brothers up in Buffalo.
I mean, wow.
So good.
Y'all mean...
I defended the guy for a whole day yesterday. It's never being too hard on him. I mean, I did.
Joe, I defended him for a whole day. It's crazy.
Did I not?
Yeah, a whole 4 hours.
I gave him a whole 4 hours yesterday of saying he wasn't that bad. It wasn't all his fault.
You're such a warrior.
Man, I tell you.
I mean, it wasn't easy. It was heavy lifting yesterday. Everyone wanted his head on a stick. My goodness.
No, I had a whole lot of thoughts, man. When like, the letter came out, and it was almost like, For Coach Sirianni, you know how when you're young and, you know, you try to, like, you have your friends come over and you'd be like, you're trying to have a sleepover.
Yeah.
And mom tell you, hey, you can have no sleepover. You better tell little Johnny he better take his butt home because he can't spend the night. Not tonight because we got stuff to do. So that was, like, Jeffrey Lurie was the dad, right? Nick Sirianni was the kid that had to go tell little Johnny he had to go home.
Tell him.
Hey, you can't stay. My dad says you can't spend the night.
You gotta go.
Sorry, Kev. It's hey, over, man.
I know. Listen, being fired is rough, man. Being fired is rough. And then
you think Kevin wore a suit?
He probably. See, that wasn't right. That wasn't right. But going to social media and seeing how everybody was happy that this man lost his job. This man just lost his job. He's going to be all right, though. I mean, it ain't like he's going to land on his feet.
And he might stay here. They haven't said if he's gone. He's just not the coordinator anymore. Now, if I was him, I'd probably try to find a fresh start somewhere.
Yeah.
maybe best
there's
for everyone.
There's more room for growth here.
I mean, if you, like, there's a lot at play here. Now, if you feel like you've been thrown under the bus, like, you know, Richard Sherman said that, you know, he's talking to Fitzpatrick, and he was like, it's not his fault. Mm-hmm. How you work with Jalen on a daily basis?
Well, that makes it hard. Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah, knowing that, like, and I don't know people. I don't know the inner workings of the building. I don't know exactly what happened. I'm recklessly speculating. That's what I do from 10 to 2. But Jalen had a hand, in my opinion, in this firing.
Of course. So, and if he played better, the guy would be here. Yeah.
So every day that I go to work, I'm gonna probably want to swing on Jalen.
Well, you can't do that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm just saying.
You know, man.
I'm just saying, Kyle.
He's got to just take it one little notch too far.
Okay, how would you feel if, say for instance, I go behind your back and tell Rod, I don't like Kyle, I don't want him on the show anymore, and you know it was me that was doing it, but you're still here every day in the building. You don't want to swing on me?
I would swing on you.
See,
without hesitation.
About. That's what I'm talking about. And you would be well within your rights to swing on me to do, because that's not cool. It's not cool. So he probably needs to move on and write a book.
I think so.
Well, and then tell everything.
Well,
that
just wait for the leaks this offseason. We're probably going to find those. One quick thing, then we'll get to your phone calls. And I do have my list here. Five names, top of my list for offensive coordinator for the Eagles in 2026. I have a request when the Eagles introduce their next coordinator. Because when Sirianni introduced Kevin Petullo there, I think he said the word hungry 5 times.
Yeah.
Okay, can I hear innovative, smart, brilliant?
I get hungry.
See, yeah. Look at your semantics.
I just would like, why did you hire this person? Because he's really smart. He's hungry. Ahead of the curve. Innovative, whatever. I mean, you know the words I'm thinking. Like,
hungry dogs run faster.
That's wonderful. I'm Hunger doesn't mean brilliance. Hunger means you want some. And I admire people that want to achieve. That's great. That's part of being great. But also there's some sort of prerequisite of excellence or smarts or acumen. I could use those words would be nice. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. Chuck in Mount Airy. Hey, Chuck.
Joe Gilio, what's the dealio?
Chuck.
What up, man?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, listen, I just want to say this, right? I'm mad at Jalen Hurts, man. I'm pretty mad at him right now. You know, because I sit back and I watch the game yesterday. I watch it over again, right? And I'm going to get to the point, the topic in hand. But I always thought that Jalen, you know, I admire from afar his relentless pursuit of greatness. You know, the ability to outwork the next guy. And I didn't see that. I didn't think he left everything on the field, man. I watched Josh Allen. That's a guy that left everything on the field. That cat left everything on the field. And that's why they advanced into the second round. I think if he would have left an ounce more on the field, he would be moving on to face Chicago. You know what I mean? And I just, you know, I just can't get with that, man. I don't know what that was this year, but I can't get with that. But to get to the nitty-gritty of what the conversation is, right, you know, I believe that, you know, and I heard Kyle earlier, and I'm not saying I disagree with Kyle or agree with Kyle. I heard him, and I'm just going to say this. As long as Howie Roseman's here and as long as Jeffrey Lurie's our owner, I ain't worried about this window closing at all. You know what I mean? You know, it's, the window's closed and it's been reopened and it's closed again and it's been reopened again. You know what I mean? I know those guys know how to build a winner, and I'm confident in that. But I'm going to say this. The easiest way to get this thing back on track and to actually navigate this window to stand open is to move on both from the offensive coordinator, which they did yesterday. I didn't like it, but they did that yesterday, and to move on from the quarterback. And the reason why I say that is not that I dislike Jalen or whatever the case may be. I really don't like him as a quarterback, but that's not the case. What I'm saying is the money's going to play a factor at some point. And when you look around at the league, you know, you see Drake May, you see Caleb Williams, you see, you know, what's the other guy, Bo Nix. You know, those guys are getting paid at a cheap rate and they're able to, you know, build around those guys and keep a team, you know, that's you know, defense, you know, whatever the case may be, skilled players around these guys. But the money's going to have to play a point. You know, we got to sign Jalen, you got to sign Jalen Carter, you got to sign a lot of plethora of defensive players, you know, the two all-pros in the secondary. And that money's going to have to be allocated that way. $50 million is taking up a lot of cap, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to having to sign other people. So in order for us to keep this window open, you know, and I know they're not going to do it, you know, I would have moved on from, you know, Kevin Petula, bring a new offensive coordinator and bring in a new quarterback, because who's to say that next year, you know, everybody wants Jalen to run more, but he's going to be up for a contract next year. And if he ain't run this year, what makes you think he's going to run on a contract yet? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm just putting two and two together here, and I'm just thinking of ways to keep our window open to win championships. I think we can bring in a young guy that gives you just as good a play in a new guy system and have this defense still intact and keep this window open for more championships to come. As long as Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie is running the show, I think that we still can keep this window open.
Well, Chuck, I agree with your overall point. I mean, I don't think it's going to close anytime soon. And with Howie here, and good phone call. I mean, if I had to guess the next few months, I think they're going to do both things Chuck's talking about. I think they're going to bring in a coordinator, right? Obviously, they're bringing a coordinator. But I don't think Jalen's going to be gone from the team. I think he's going to be the starting quarterback week one. But I also, if I had to predict right now the next few months of Eagles football, they're going to draft a quarterback somewhere high-ish in the draft. I don't think it's going to be the first round, but it could be the second or third. And that means, that doesn't mean, it have to mean anything for Jalen's future, right? If Jalen plays great football, he's the quarterback. But like, if he doesn't, they have a hedge. I mean, I anticipate they're going to hedge on the quarterback position.
I think there's such thing as called lighting a fire under somebody. And no better way to light a fire than to go get somebody, don't go draft your replacement.
2014, the Patriots did it to Tom Brady. Yeah. They drafted Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round. And guess what happened? Tom Brady went on to win how many more Super Bowls with New England? Like, it did light a fire under Tom Brady.
And see, here's the thing. It's not so much that it's, well, it is to light a fire under Jalen, but it's also to make sure that this train doesn't stop.
Of course.
This relevant train doesn't stop.
Yes.
Just like when Carson Wentz, what was he in his fifth year or something like that?
He was drafted in 16. He was going into his fifth year when they drafted Jalen.
I mean, that's kind of what you do, because you want a quarterback in the system that is going to carry you to the next, 10, 15 years or whatever. Mm. But here's the problem. I haven't looked at the draft But I don't think this is a good year for quarterbacks.
Comparatively so, probably not to some other years.
When you talk about the one, I know the quarterback from Indiana, and then it's the
he's going number one.
Then it's the Oregon quarterback, kid, right? Yeah, the Oregon kid. So they're like, when you talk about this is not a good quarterback class if you're looking to draft a quarterback, huh?
Trinidad
Chambliss from Ole Miss.
I like that kid. Yeah, but I'm with you, and I wouldn't be opposed if they used a day two pick on a quarterback.
But they've had success with that.
But I know you guys are talking about best case scenario where you get Tom Brady or even Jalen Hurts. Like, we got lucky. Yeah, that Hurts turned out to be as good as he
of
was.
Of course. That's not, you look at the NFL playoffs this year. Was Hurts the only non first round pick quarterback? He may have been.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all high picks.
Burrow, Tua, Herbert, right?
They're all, I'm missing one, but I think most were, if not all, were other than Hurts first round pick. Oh, and Purdy, excuse me.
Window's open right now, but life comes at you fast, man. You open up this can of worms with a new OC who does an entirely new offense, and we could be left with, we could all of a sudden go from thinking we have two quarterbacks, we draft a guy, to having zero.
Right.
Instantly. And then the window is, you'll be lucky if it's even cracked open at that point.
I get it. And I understand everyone out there that wants to find the coordinator just for Jalen Hurts. I'm putting myself out there that I don't know. I don't know what his next 3 years look like physically as a player. So, if Jalen was 25, 24, then you kind of anticipate, he's going to obviously be here for the next 3 or 4 years. So I got to do everything to accentuate whatever his skill set is. Yeah. I'm not sure what his next 3 years look like. Well, so I can't hitch my wagon to someone who's just here for him.
Well, it's going to come down to him because we're at this inflection point now where we either get, remember Russell Wilson's first few years when he won the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
The formula was kind of what this formula was.
Yes.
Run the ball, play great defense, Russell Wilson, don't lose the game. Then you saw Russell Wilson turn into that guy, develop into a player that you're like, wow, that's an elite, pocket pass quarterback. Like
30 plus touchdowns in seasons,
So is Hurts going to go that way? Or does he go the way of Cam Newton?
I think that's right. When is the decline coming? Has it begun? Or do we have a nice 3 or 4 year window where it's more Russell Wilson, as Kyle said, which is obviously very productive and you can win a lot of football games? Or is it like the Cam thing where it's going to end quick? I don't know. 215-592-9494. Let's take a phone call. And then I have my list. Five names that are standing out to me as the potential next Eagles offensive coordinator. Josiah in Warrington. Hey, Josiah.
What's going on, Joe? What's going on, Joe, Kyle, and Hugh? Can y'all hear me?
We got you, Josiah. What's up, man?
All right, man. So first things first, man. I want to ask y'all a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about Jalen. We've been talking about KP. But are we sure if Nick Sirianni is the coach for the future? Let me ask you a question, Joe. Before you answer that, let me ask you, Joe. If your boss come to you and ask you, hey, for the show to have success, don't talk. Let you talk. Let Kyle produce. And Joe, just don't say nothing. Your job will be in question, right, Joe?
Yeah, I would not feel secure. Yeah, Josiah, I would not feel secure as a talk show host if they wanted me to talk a lot less. That wouldn't be great. Yep.
1,000%, Joe, 1,000%, right? And when the years that we have had success with Nick Sirianni, when he's literally been told, hey, get out of the offensive room. Don't go in the defensive room. Go downstairs. Go to the office.
Is that what he was told?
You know what I'm saying? Go work out. That's what he's been told. In the years that we've had success with this guy. Right, and then we've also been talking about the window and whole 9 yards, right? Every time if we bring in the next offensive coordinator, we bring in, if he has any relative success, guess what? Teams are going to come pro. Like the Eagles' offensive coordinator, is the biggest stepping stone, is the biggest finesse to get a head coaching job. And Joe, you was talking about Jalen Hurts yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not off the hook too. But the reason why I hold out hope for him is because we've seen him have success, and we've seen him win, right, when he's been guided and we have had the right coaching, Joe. If you look at the NFL, majority of quarterbacks have limitations. Majority of quarterbacks aren't – like, you have 5 to 7 quarterbacks who are what I call Superman quarterbacks, superhero quarterbacks, right? The rest need guidance. What's Brock Purdy without Kyle Shanahan? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he would not be the same without Shanahan. I agree. Yep.
1,000%, Joe. So I just think that looking at it from the overall grand scheme of things, right, when you look at the CEO-style head coach, right, when he cannot pick his own staff, he's a liability. We cannot have a liability. If we want to have the sustained success we need, we cannot have a liability at head coach. Jalen has shown when he's been guided, he can win, right? offensive coordinators, when they come in, they win, and they go and they get jobs, and they succeeded. If you, Kellen Warren found his quarterback, and the guy who, it was a 25-year-old guy who nobody thought was good this
Tyler Shuck. He was good.
Tyler Shuck. look at Daniel Jones.
I'm trying to tell y'all.
Look at it. Come on, man.
Yeah, so I hear you, and it's a good phone call. But that's also part of the reasoning why I just want to find the best coach.
Well, you know,
I mean, like, now, also part of this is, are we marrying this thing with Sirianni wants? Or also, is this guy just his own offense?
That's why I think that last point he made contradicts his entire thing. We get a guy in here that's the best offensive mind, yeah. Right? We're talking about changing the offense. The offense looks different. That's this guy's offense. We know that's not Sirianni's offense. Mm-hmm. Then what happens? It looks good, best case scenario. They're gone.
See, aren't we on that anyway?
But then we have to get but in this scenario, it's the same offense. No. I'm saying in this scenario, we're bringing in a guy that can run the Sirianni offense. Yeah. It's been the same offense. In this case, in this fantasy world we're living in, we're getting a new offense every year. That's going to be even worse for Jalen.
I think you're stuck.
But we're there anyway. I mean, I just think we're there anyway.
When you hear new offense,
5 years, five coordinators.
When you hear new offense, I think that kind of makes you a little nervous. Am I right?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about like a West Coast thing Shanahan runs,
okay,
where Jalen has to play in structure and on time, that's not going to work.
Well, put it like this.
Can we get real?
When I think about,
I just want a good coach. I don't want someone that's just catering to a guy that might not even run anymore.
When I think about new offenses. I guess I don't see it the way you see it. Now, you're right. There are different offenses where there's timing offenses and you get the ball out quick.
Right, right.
But the terminology to me is the biggest difference. Like, all the offenses are similar. And you cater to your quarterback skill set by the
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
The menu that you have. But when I think of a new offense, Kyle, you can run the same offense, but just run different variations, run different pass patterns, run more crossing routes, do more motion and things like that.
I think it's a volatile situation because right now we have.
Okay, so but this is what you. Okay, this is how I see it, and let me maybe I can help you out a little bit. Mm-hmm. The one thing that we don't do a whole lot of is motion, right?
Yes.
When we got who was it? Kellen Moore.
Mm-hmm.
He was known for doing a lot of motion,
and we still didn't do much.
And then we didn't do motion.
Well, we did some, but not a lot.
We did a little bit of motion. So
right, but why? And then we won the Super Bowl.
That's the point. But listen, this is the point that I'm getting to. We have become stagnant. Who was it when Dan Orlovsky was out there talking about? We ran 8 plays in that last drive, and 4 of them were similar pass routes. We need to. When I think of a new offense, you can have the same offense, but you put different wrinkles by having people run different routes. The quarterback has to pick up on.
We've been stagnant. The difference was we could run the ball effectively.
Because
the O-line was healthy and Saquon was like on a mission.
Well, let me tell you what. Let me tell you this. It's a good chance. It's a strong possibility that we've seen the best of Saquon Barkley.
A strong possibility,
It's a strong possibility of that. So that dog that we went to the Super Bowl with, that's a different dog.
I agree.
We ain't got that dog no more.
What we need is a new offense.
So, exactly.
All right, you want my list here? I got 5 names for you, Hugh Douglas. You ready for this?
Yes.
My power rank is, and there's a lot of names out there. I mean, the 5 I give you, you probably heard these names, obviously. But there's probably going to be 10 more names that you might hear someone else say or read just because there's a lot of candidates. And I don't know how long this is going to take for the Eagles because there's now 9 head coaching openings, right? So a lot of these guys are going to interview for head coaching jobs. They're not going to want to be coordinators or they're going to be head coaches, so we might have to wait on that. And then if defensive guys get these jobs, they might want to take some of these people to go become offense coordinators with them. So I don't know where this market's going, but these are the 5 names that I wrote down as my 5 biggest candidates for the Eagles offense coordinator position. Number 1. It's Mike McDaniel. Hugh, I don't know if he is truly a head coach. He's kind of a quirky personality, but I think that guy's smart. I mean,
Capri pants.
I don't think Tua Tagovailoa is very talented. I really don't. And he got a lot out of him, and they ran the football. He comes from the Shanahan tree. He was with him for years. He was
very innovative.
Smart guy. We want the run game to get back. His specialty is run game coordinator. That's what he kind of built his career on. Mike McDaniel's number 1 for me. Number 2, is Todd Monken.
I need to write these down.
I'll keep the note here. We could copy. You don't have to worry about writing it down. Todd Monken's number two. I thought the job he did with Lamar Jackson, and Lamar is super talented, but Lamar had a great year in 2019, won the MVP, and then he started to fall down a little bit, right? And he, I thought he helped Lamar become a better pocket quarterback and better thrower of the football. When I watched Ravens games the last few years, this year not so much withstanding because they had injuries, I saw guys wide open, and he didn't have skill players other than Derrick Henry to the level of Saquon and Devontae. I think Todd Monken's a smart guy. He worked with Baker Mayfield when he was in Cleveland. He worked with Jameis Winston, so he's worked with different kinds of quarterbacks in terms of pocket guys, runners. He was at Georgia, Hugh, I think around the time that you were still down there in Atlanta.
Todd Monken, yeah.
And won, he's part of a national championship coaching staff in college football. And if we want a Vic Fangio type that probably is not going to leave, Todd Monken's 59 years old. I don't think people are going to hire Todd Monken to be an NFL head coach. I like him. He's number two on my list. Number three is Kevin Stefanski. If you win Coach of the Year twice in Cleveland, you have to be pretty darn good. And I thought he did a good job in Minnesota as a coordinator before he got that job. He's number three. Number four is Cliff Kingsbury. Now, that would probably lean more towards the fix hurts more than sustainability. But I thought the job he did last year with Jaden Daniels as a rookie was big-time stuff. And then number five is a name, maybe it's not a big name out there yet, but I think it's going to be soon. Nate Shielhouse is the pass game specialist for the Rams. He's been with McVay. And one of his jobs has been, over the last couple years, he draws the plays up for McVay. And people that have done that for McVay before were Liam Cohen and were Zach Taylor. So like that job, you become an offensive-minded head coach pretty darn quickly. McVay at one point did it for Shanahan. The Eagles interviewed Shielhouse when they hired Brian Johnson. So obviously there's some sort of connection. They already like this guy. Those are my top five. McDaniel one, Todd Monken two, Stefanski three, Kingsbury four, Shielhouse five. One name I did not include, Hugh. I'm not a Brian Daboll guy. I know he's got a history with Hurts. I know he has a history with Sirianni. They worked together in Kansas City. It just strikes me as too much hothead on that sideline. He is very emotional. Sirianni's very emotional. I don't know, man. I think the Dable thing is oil and water.
I think all of those coaches that you name, when you start talking about bringing in your own offensive philosophy and everything, that there's a chance that it's going to not work well with Coach Sirianni. You know, because now.
But doesn't that have to work well?
The coaching staff's got to be on the same page. But I think that. What's going to happen? And I'm all for it. Let me say this too. I'm all for it because I think that there needs to be a shakeup here. But you open the door up for okay, whose offense is what? How successful is this offense? I think this comes down to be honest, challenging the quarterback. I think the quarterback needs to be challenged. I think the quarterback has gotten a little comfortable. The quarterback's successful, and this is not me throwing shade on him, but something has to change. And when you talk about the missteps of this offense over the past 3 years, now, put a Super Bowl in there, you got to change something. I think he needs to be challenged.
Yeah, well, we'll see how they do it. 215-592-9494. All right, your reaction to all this, should they hire someone to fix Jalen and get the most out of Jalen Hurts, or just find the best offensive mind? If Jalen fits, he fits. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Elliot joins us next. We'll get his take on all this and all the questions about this job the Eagles have to answer as they go through the hiring process. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.